In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, you're in good hands. Maybe you could say that to somebody sitting next to you and just let them know you're in good hands. I just thought maybe that'd be something that you'd like to hear today. And that happens to be the title for our sermon. Stuff's going on. Of this we're sure. You're in good hands. With that being said, I don't know if it's out of defensiveness. I don't know why it is, but maybe you've had this conversation. There's sometimes a single mother will say of the father of her children, "He's a good dad." When the truth is, I know, he's not a good dad. He's a dirtbag. He maybe is good in the sense that he will show up sometimes and he'll play with the kids and cuddle with them and he's good for some laughs. He's certainly good at when he's there, his children desperately want his attention. But the truth is, these fathers will very often not take care of the financial needs of the family. Sort of show up when it's convenient. Certainly don't help with homework, don't help when the kids are sick, don't change the diapers. Certainly don't teach their children the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. Seems like instead they're only good for impregnating women they have no intention of marrying. Would you like to know why that little tirade? We have a difficulty in understanding what Jesus means today when he says, "I am the good shepherd." And I think sometimes we think of good shepherd in the way that these mothers, these single mothers, think of these dirtbag dads. That Jesus is good in that he has some sort of affection for his children. He's glad for them or his sheep, and he's a cuddler of his sheep. Perhaps you've seen those images of Christ. There's a lot of paintings of the shepherd Jesus who's sort of looking at his sheep fondly or sort of cuddling them. And I'm not saying that those images of Jesus' affection are wrong. I don't know. What I'm saying is that's not what Jesus is talking about when he says in the gospel lesson, "I am the good shepherd." Might as well learn a little Greek today. The word for good here is kalos. And that's important. Because I tell you what, you look in a dictionary and you can find like 100 different meanings for good. But when we're talking about this Greek word kalos, what we find is that what Jesus is saying is that he is the ideal shepherd, the perfect shepherd, the fitting shepherd, the uniquely qualified shepherd, the best shepherd. That's what Jesus says when he says, I am the kalos, good shepherd. I don't know about you, but that's comforting. I have this sense where as I was studying this text and thinking about it, at least there's that. It is good to know that there is, in fact, a uniquely qualified, a perfect, a fitting shepherd. Because truth is, we got a lot of shepherds. There are many people who have the office of oversight and care in some way. And here's the thing that I have come to discover in my short life. All these other shepherds are clowns. These past couple weeks, I've been listening to an audiobook on John Adams. So I'm learning all this information about our founding fathers. And these are men of genius. Impressive men. They have a great deal of resiliency. And yet, as I'm listening to their stories, they're clowns. They are pompous. They are self-seeking. They're certainly morally questionable. Vanity abounds. There's all sorts of different issues and short-sightedness and blinders that these founding fathers have. They're clowns. President Trump, a clown. I can reach across the aisle too. Joe Biden, a clown. You might be thinking, Pastor, where do you get off calling these people clowns? Just relax. I have it on good authority that your pastor is a clown too. No one does right except one. There is one who has been given oversight over you and me. And there is no vanity. He rules with complete integrity. He is in complete possession of himself. He knows his purpose, and his purpose alone is good. And he rules not by polls or popularity. He rules by what is right. He's not swayed by appearances. He tells the truth, even at great personal cost. And so I think that's just something worth holding on to and thinking about for a while. That there is actually one true kalos shepherd. That's what Jesus says today when he makes the claim, I am the good shepherd. And he makes that claim not out of hubris, but out of humility. Humiliation. This is our catechism word. Remember Jesus' two states, humiliation and exaltation? When we're talking about Jesus' humiliation, what we're saying is that though he is in truth God, He did not make full use of his powers. The way St. Paul says it in Philippians is this: though he is in the very form God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. Sacrifice. Not just at the end, not just at the cross, his entire life, that for you and for me, for our salvation, the Son of God comes down from heaven and he is born of a servant girl. Not just any servant girl. She is a servant girl amongst a subjugated people. And he comes and he has no place to lay his head. He makes himself the very least so that he might be the one who serves all. Even when finally it kills him. When doing his Father's will, he takes up his cross. He suffers hell there. This is the job description of the Good Shepherd. This is how Jesus distinguishes himself. This is how he is the Kalos Shepherd. Not by subjugating people, but by sacrifice. Not by hubris, but by humiliation. Humiliation. Excuse me, I need my bulletin. Jesus empties himself to fill us. He becomes a servant so that we become kings and queens. He dies so that we might live. And by this, do you notice what we prayed about this humiliation? First thing we prayed this morning: O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. His humiliation, and you and I have been raised. He's raised us. He has. You are lifted up. Don't look at your circumstances. But do look. Come at it from this perspective. Has Jesus, in fact, lifted up the whole world? Let's ask ourselves this question. When Adam and Eve first sinned, why didn't God just say, well, that was fun while it lasted, but I see where this train is going, we're done. And why not just get rid of all of it? Why not destroy the earth? See, it's because God made a promise that the day would come that he would give a Savior to bring healing. And so rather than destroying the world, God preserved it. Many centuries later, God sees the way this is going, the fact that every inclination of humankind is evil. God is grieved in his heart that he created mankind. And so he destroys it in a flood, and yet he preserves the world, he preserves believing Noah. And it's not simply because Noah was such a great guy. You know why God rescued Noah? Because God knew the day would come when his son would bear the entire wrath of God for all of the world. And so at that time, God preserved, raised up the world. Israel is rescued from Egypt. They have seen what God can do as he carried them out as on an eagle's wing. out of the land of Egypt with great power. And yet, for 40 years, they worship a golden calf. They complain. They disobey. They rebel. Till finally God says, that's it. I'm done. They're toast. Moses, I'm just going to make my people through you. And yet, through the intercession of Moses, and really through the intercession that pointed forward, God preserved Israel. In other words, God saved Israel from his wrath because of Jesus who was coming. And now he has come. He has laid down his life for the sheep. The wolf came. Jesus filled the wolf's mouth with his own body so that the sheep could go free. He saved us. He's lifting us up. Why is it that things are continuing now? Why hasn't God finally destroyed the world? It's because he is being patient. And for the sake of all who will come to faith in him, he has prolonged the end of the world. He's lifting us up. In fact, the world itself is longing for. The world itself, creation, Paul says in Romans 8, is also longing. The world itself has this hope of salvation, that there will be a new heavens and a new earth, a recreation, that God's not interested in getting rid of everything. He's interested in lifting it up, a renewed creation. The signs are everywhere. Should I keep going? Can I push it a little more? Look at how things are right now. In a world that certainly has a mess, that's filled with all kinds of clowns, that has things like novel viruses. Notice all of the ways that we are continually lifted up. Think about all of the hospitals that have been built in the name of Jesus. Think about all of the places of learning, the education that has taken place in the name of Jesus. Think about all of the art, all of the music that sets our souls aflight, all in the name of Jesus. The architecture, it's everywhere. The signs are everywhere that Jesus, who came in humiliation, has lifted up the world. We know this. There's a lot we don't know, but we know this. There is a Kalos shepherd who has lifted up the world. And that's good, because right now we're hearing a lot of experts, certainly well-meaning, telling us all kinds of different things. Suddenly, by the way, everyone is an expert. And we're all telling each other the way it is. But if we're honest, we have no idea. This is uncharted territory. We're doing the best we can. We're probably making some bad choices. Sometimes maybe we make some very self-interested choices. I don't know, but here's what I know. There is a good shepherd. He lives. And that's who I came to tell you about today. I did not come to tell you about the boyfriend shepherd who looks at us with dreamy eyes. I did not come today to tell you about the Burger King shepherd who gives us what we want so we can have it our way. I came to tell you about the shepherd who has proven himself in battle. I have come to tell you about the shepherd who has invested everything in you, so he's not going anywhere. And he knows you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows you better than yourself. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your sins. He knows where you struggle. So that means he knows where to be patient, and he knows where to push. He knows where you need aid, and he knows where he has given you strength, and you can move on. He knows. Because this shepherd is wise. In fact, it's not just that this shepherd is wise. This shepherd is wisdom himself. This shepherd doesn't simply give light. He is the light of the world. This shepherd doesn't simply show us a way. This shepherd is the way. This shepherd doesn't simply give us some truths. This shepherd is the truth. This shepherd isn't just giving us any old life. He is life itself that overcomes sin, death, the devil, the world, all of it. He doesn't just bring resurrection. He is resurrection. There is a kalos shepherd. And he's your shepherd. You're in good hands. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.